house with the property. So that's basically what I was trying to do.
So this was all about an addition, Ed?
Well, it wasn't really. It was already a three-season room,
yeah.
So I was trying to convert it to a four-season room. And by adding a foot and a half would bring it out the same as it is on the highway, on the Robin Boulevard side, where it comes out even with the gable at the end. That's why we went a foot and 9 inches, I think. And it just makes the room a little bit bigger for a boardroom. So it's an all-season room, and some people I talked to said I didn't need a permit. And others said I did, so.
Well, a permit for that, but that's not what's in front of us is a whole.
Oh, yeah, and then the zoning, yeah. So then I thought, well, where the problem is apparently when I looked at the zoning thing, is that I couldn't even put a siding on the outside of the wall without going through community committee, and so far it's cost me $2,800 to get this far.
Well, for all this, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you just came for a plan approval to deal with James, you tell me. I mean, if somebody wanted to come and put new siding on their home, it doesn't cost them $2,800 to get to this table for that, does it?
No.
I didn't think so.
But it did cost me to get to the this.
Because this is about a rezoning.
Well, it wasn't. It started out as a building permit.
Yeah, and then somehow got.
Well, then they said I have to go to community committee.
Well, that's here.
Yeah, to get that done. So I said, if I'm coming to community committee, then I'd like to have the zoning revised so that I can be a little more flexible.
Did you guys have some comments from James? Or
yep. It's not a rezoning. It's a zoning agreement amendment.
Right.
So
yeah.
Mr. Thompson has a pretty restrictive zoning agreement, and to allow Mr. Thompson to upkeep the property and do some other work on there, he asked if he could amend the zoning agreement to give him a little bit more flexibility. Noah?
Yeah, the zoning amendment agreement, or the zoning agreement, would have to be changed in order for Mr. Thompson to do his exterior alterations, because condition number 3 of that agreement says there shall be no exterior alteration or additions carried out or constructed to the existing building on the land.
Without coming here for site plan approval.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cost anything.
Well, no, it doesn't say for site plan approval. It says period, that there will be no alterations or additions carried out on the existing building. Period. There's no without plan.
Well, somewhere there talked about that they couldn't go higher than 18 feet. It says here, which currently limits the height of the new buildings to 18 feet. There was a reason for
yeah.
that. Yeah.
But for Mr. Thompson to do what he wants to do, the only thing he'd really need to do is have that one condition change, but I guess he's asking to have the other ones amended while he's got the opportunity.
See, what I was asking for basically is that I can go through the Mr. Vetch to say yay or nay, and then he has a responsibility, if he doesn't agree or whatever, to pass it up and say, this is something beyond me, and I think when everything was community committee, that was troublesome because I can't deal with the local people then. And so I thought, well, if it had or in there even, then it would be at his discretion.
Yeah, the intent, of course, and I appreciate you weren't there. You weren't far behind, but you weren't there when we were dealing with this.
No, I didn't even know that I had all that stuff against me, actually.
Well, Rudy Maxwell did, and he apologized profusely. He said, "I don't know, you know, how I became aware and got myself into this." But anyway, the intent, here's what my problem is, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've heard you, and we haven't had any kind of a conversation about this,
yeah,
I might. Over so that we can chat about it a little bit, just one-on-one or something, because the problem, every time, in fact, just down the street from you, a couple of blocks, right now there's three residential houses and a residential lot for sale, and Helmut Sass has got a sign up there that you might as well be on the Pullah Park Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
It leads everybody to believe that you can actually build a shopping center there,
mm-hmm.
but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they've tried twice, and over 200 people came out both times. Screaming. A part of it, I think, was because Mr. Meinzer is not the easiest guy in the world and hasn't been easy to get along. along with anybody. He's burnt some bridges with some folks, not me, but people out there. And every time I turn around, one block down from you, same property as yours on the other side of Greenbrier, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, chiropractor moved in there, did a whole bunch of renovations and opened up a business. No permits, nothing. He's not there anymore. It's back and it's a residential dwelling again. We kicked him out. You can't do that kind of stuff. And people on the other side split a lot. She's running an accounting business, hasn't changed that house at all. And I'm curious about something from you guys. Mr. Thompson didn't write this, but on page 6, at the bottom, it says, to the west, a C1 commercial site vacant and under same ownership. The property to the west was the Surtees house.
And it was it's still there.
Yeah, but that's the property to the west.
There's
a separate lot.
There's a separate lot.
Oh, you're talking about the vacant lot.
Yeah,
but that's okay. Yeah. All right. But but this says this. Well, I didn't realize they were two separate lots. It's all one property to me. It's always been one. But anyway, that's okay. Because the vacant lot carries the same conditions as the first one, which means nothing can be done with it anyway. The way that this is structured. Which was also the intent. Maybe you weren't there, and I appreciate that. I don't know what you signed with Rudy. I mean, that was... I was never involved in that. The intent, Ed, was Rudy started offering or opening. What he did was he ran a law practice out of his house.
Yeah.
He purported to live there. I'm not sure he was. But
yeah, he did.
He claimed
did
he was. And,
yeah.
And I believed him.
Yeah, he did.
And so when he wanted to sell his offices at the time, he couldn't because he never had approval for them in the first place. Okay, so we went through all of this to protect the residential component of Robin Boulevard, which we've been trying to do because, frankly, I mean, you don't hear about it, but I mean, every time just about that a house comes for sale on Robin Boulevard, somebody thinks it'd be a great ice cream parlor. I had one last year between the two bends on Robin Boulevard, between Grant and Ridgedale, if you can believe that. I mean, you know, those are all, everything's residential there.
Mm-hmm.
And in this block that you're in, next to you is a residential dwelling, what I call next to you, because that was a Surtees home. It's still there. Somebody's living in it.
Yeah.
Next to that is
Cox.
The Cox Insurance building, which is a house, but was built, it's always had the insurance agency in it. I think it was built in 1979 or thereabouts. And I can tell you that it was a conditional use for years. It may have changed under this bylaw, but if it did, it's only got the one use. And a lot of buildings out there are like that. I remember when the first 10 years were up, Dave came one night, and I think that everybody within about 1,000 feet of his business, most of whom were doing business with him, said, Dave's a nice guy. He keeps his yard real nice. Everything's 100%. He's a great guy, it's a good business, but we don't want the site to be changed or rezoned. We like it the way that it is. And the problem is, with these situations, is that Dave is a nice guy, and his son is too, but if something happened, something would have happened to Dave, and then his wife didn't want to keep the business or whatever, and she's got full-blown commercial, the next thing Burger King wants it. That's the trouble. Okay.
But then it would have to, for Burger King to take it, they would have to come and get approval again.
Not if it's rezoned to commercial. And that was the thing. So what happened with it, when this site was changed in 1987, it was a conditional use originally.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm not questioning that so much, Bill. It's just that what I was having a problem with is every time I want to do something that I'd have to spend the money to put signs up. Like people were looking and saying, what's the sign for? And and I told them, well, I'm trying to get a 9-inch expansion.
Nonsense. But
I got holes on the side of the building on the one gable end, and I just put foam in it. So I've got to do something there. So.
Well, you got to deal with it and fix it up, and I've got no problem with that part. Those kinds of issues. I mean, this 48 square foot, is that what it is? It's a 48 square foot addition?
Whatever it is, it'd be a foot.
And that's going out to a sunroom that's in the back right now?
It's in the back. It's always been a three-season room. Yeah. And it was filling up with any room that you have vacant. And next thing you know, you're throwing junk in there. And the next door neighbor, he didn't say anything, but I thought it's time to clean it up.
Okay. So. But we're heading. Have you got this under construction right now, or you?
Oh, it's pretty near finished now. Yeah.
The 48 square feet.
Yeah.
So
because everybody I talked to, usually I had an engineer that drew it up. So.
I think the way that I would leave that in short term would be finish it, because if it's a 48 square foot addition, is that what it
is? Well, we had to do we put in all new reinforcements and everything, so it's all. It's all from square, and it was all on piles. It was cement on piles, so it's foundation-wise.
You've already done that, and it's going, and you've got to finish it because it's going to be winter right away.
Right. Well, I still got to put siding on it and stuff.
But in terms of all this stuff and changing this, I'm just not comfortable. I'd rather...
Well, I guess what I'd like, Bill, is if anything, is to put the ore in there. So that,
we could maybe put the ore in on November the 10th, but I think I'd rather not deal with it tonight. I mean, it's not going to stop you from doing what you're doing.
No.
It hasn't so far.
Well, I mean, when I talked to other people, they told me, not Mr. Vetch, but others had said if I'd knocked out the inside wall, then I wouldn't have needed a building permit.
And you may not have.
Right, and so to me it's been, when I found out all the caveats against it, I said, well, if I'm going to spend a bunch of money to come to a community committee, then I got to get some flexibility built into it. And so, and then I got a tree that's it's got to come down. I don't know whether there's a caveat against that or not, but if I don't get it down one of these days, it's going to fall on the lines there.
Well, the intent of what all this says wasn't meant to be obstructive. It was meant to just be a controlling mechanism, so we didn't wind up with the house changing from what appeared to be a house, notwithstanding it's a business inside of it, and being changed into a building that looked like a commercial building.
Yeah, well, I don't think that was... I just felt that... that wasn't the plan at all. But
that was
just
the intent. Okay.
Yeah, so but I just felt that that anything like that would have to come through. Like, I didn't think that I could change it to a burger place without coming through community committee again.
I'm just saying that's the difference between having carte blanche commercial zoning.
But the ESSO there is commercial, is it not? And they've had to go through, I know they've been going through zoning to try and get things changed
what their problem was when you remove the tanks, and the only way that they could do that deal down there was, Pioneer Petroleum was buying that off of ESSO.
Yeah.
And the environmental rules being what they are today, not our rules, environmental rules.
Yeah.
That ESSO had to clean up the site before they could transfer title. And to do that, that meant they had to take the tanks out. And when you take the tanks out under the existing zoning, they had to reapply to be allowed. They had to reapply for the zoning to be there under for the same use.
Mm-hmm. They were grandfathered under C1.
Yeah.
But once they remove everything, they lose that grandfather. Then they have to go to C2. So they had to rezone it.
Yeah, and that's what that was all about. And frankly, in the end, it wound up protecting the neighborhood a fair bit. We had quite a few people down here about that. And anyway, as it's turned out, what was just in front of us tonight is scaled down from what they wanted to do, and it'll be more fitting with the residential component that surrounds it. And that's what we wound up, keeping in mind that it's been a service station for.
Well, the thing is that, I know Texaco had it before that, and, it's funny, people build around something and then want to change the zoning once they're there, but,
these guys
bought the house when it was there, so...
Well, they bought the house when that was there, but it was being changed. They wanted, like, when they were trying originally, and then when they first came through, Tim Hortons wanted the drive-thru donut shop there.
Yeah.
We weren't going there. And so, I mean, there's been a whole bunch of discussion going on about it.
But I mean, on my property, though, too, I couldn't change anything there without it going to be rezoned. I mean, I understand that. Like, I wouldn't even think of doing that. But
the trouble is that what happened, if few years ago, and they don't always explain this stuff to us real good, the lawyers in particular. This site wasn't commercial. It was a conditional use.
Yeah.
And it had one use.
Yeah.
This office stuff. I don't know.
One of the things too.
This thing when we changed the bylaw sometime back is when this commercial got thrown on it, and we were told we couldn't have conditional uses anymore, so it had to be C1 with a zoning agreement. And that's, but it was conditional use with a zoning agreement originally. I don't know when it got changed to commercial, but it got changed with a stroke of a pen when we did the bylaw change, I'm pretty sure. We didn't make it commercial.
Because I'm paying commercial tax rate.
So you should, given what you do there. But that's not the issue.
No.
The issue is we're trying to control.
One of the things,
there's only been one or two. And the only property, to be honest with you, in all the time I've been a counselor that actually changed was where this karate place is next to the bank, Centerway Credit Union, and I wasn't the counselor there. That was when they split it, and Pat Phillips was the counselor down there at that end at the time, and that's how that ugly mobile sign that's on the Legion property got there. It's the only one we've got in Charleswood. We had two others. I got rid of them. There was just little quirky things that came up, and I was able to get rid of them with other changes that we made on those sites. You know, like seeing a pylon sign along Robin Boulevard, they just don't belong there. You know, you've lived there a long time, so right. I mean, 80% or 90% of Robin Boulevard is residential. It's not a typical regional street. You know,
well, as the traffic on that is getting such that I think it's going more. I don't know who in their right mind would want to live there with a family, but.
But you know, on the other side, Adolf Meinzer came to me a few years ago, and he had property at the foot of Charleswood Road on the north side, backing onto Kincora. There's a lane there, and he said the same thing. I can't sell it to anybody. Well, we didn't let him. He wanted a strip mall. We wouldn't let him have one. And all of a sudden, another guy came along, bought it. Built six houses. They're all worth about $500,000 today, and there's families living in all six of them. I'm with you to some degree. I don't want to live on Robin Boulevard. I live close enough. I'm six houses off of it. I can hear the sirens and everything else going by. But you know what? Every time somebody builds a nice house, or somebody buys one. You know, like they all sell somebody. So everybody likes their own thing, I guess. But
see, in that block too, I think there's a dentist too that's in there. That whole block is.
And that was done before I got there, and that was done, and Cox was done, and the
dental,
yours and Surtees, and the one on the end where McIntosh lived, were all residential at the time. And I had the same problem with that thing. One guy owned it. And he tried, I don't know how many, every time he tried to sell it, he put a big commercial sign up on it. You know, I phoned Garrett back one day and said, what are you doing? You know, that's a residential home. Oh, well, we thought it had good potential. He said, yeah, it does, but it doesn't. So take the sign down and put a proper one on. So he did. And somebody else bought it, and then they tried. And finally, we actually got, now there's a lady accountant in there, and they split the lot in the back off of Greenbrier, and they did that good. They did the fence in an appropriate way. She's running her business out of it just like you are. And you never know if she was even in there. And I mean, you guys have got some small signage up, but which isn't a big deal, you know.
Well, it's a lot smaller than the city of Winnipeg sign had to put up for this.
Well, they make them bigger now, because
I got to see, we're changing names as well. We're changing names as well. And then the other thing is with that sign is that it's being hidden by the bench that's there. There's a bench there that people are advertising, and so I don't even get use out of that, really. So
did you put a Money Concepts bench out there?
Well, I guess I could, but just build it, make it off the property a bit. So, Well, and I got to get these caveats removed so I can do that. You see,
Mr. Chair, take it from the
Okay, I'm not going to close public representations. Not that you're necessarily going to have to come back here, because I don't think you will. But I'd like to. Leave this wide open and lay it over until November the 10th, and then I'm going to see if I can get together with Ed over a
coffee or something for half an hour. It's not going to stop you from doing what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
In any case.
Yeah.
And not, you know, there's no panic to this beyond that in the short term anyway.
Yeah. No, it's just that you see, and I've got to, like with that, and then I have permission to build a like sort of a ramp rather than stairs at the back, and so to landscape it and stuff like that, and so that's fairly expensive. So I've stopped that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get that done, and then I've got to get some siding done on some of it anyway. Maybe not at all.
Well, I'll give you a call, and we can maybe get together sometime next week.
Okay.
If you're around?
Yeah, I'll be around, yeah. I won't be around on the 10th, though.
No, but I don't. Once we chat, I don't think we really have to deal. You know, you don't necessarily have to come back here. I mean, it would be a public hearing, you could.
Yeah.
But
I can't afford too many of them.
Our process allows for that, too. I mean, is it, are we, because we adjourned the meeting, is it, what, are you able to meet with them while the public hearing, the hearing is in place? I don't think you actually.
No, we're not allowed to do that.
Okay, so you're adjourning it? To November 10th?
I'm going to ask that you be adjourned.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.